That why one has supposed to come to the temple? Why one has to take this austerity called tapasya? So the explanation is given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very, very important chapter here. It's in the third canto on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, it is actually described very elaborately the science and the philosophy that one has to acquire in order to understand the real function of this individual person. What am I supposed to do? And what is beneficial and what is not beneficial? What is good and what is right and what is wrong? So all these things are actually explained here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just touch very briefly. let me see. So let's see, someone's coming for the first time, actually should get this book. This is actually all the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. But especially the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Teachings of Kapila. Here, it contains the whole thing, the science and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So once you study this very thoroughly, then you get all the knowledge. So this is called the Sankhya philosophy. So the modern science, the confusion of modern scientists is because of lack of this Sankhya philosophy. So now they are beginning to realize that they have to accept this Sankhya philosophy. So in the Sankhya philosophy, it is then what is mind? How to train the mind? How to control the mind? So unless your mind is trained properly, the mind will be wandering in all the directions of this planet. Sometimes you may like to go to, let's say, to a movie, to a sometimes you may like to go to swimming, and especially in Hawaii. And sometimes, you know, you may like to do this and that. Unlimited, desires will come to the mind. So to train the mind and to give, you know, the proper direction of the mind is very, very vital, a vital principle in order to understand the ultimate meaning of life. So, but these things are dealt with. And then what are the function of the senses? That why the senses are dragging me in so many sense objects. So I want this, I want that. Sometimes people say, well, I want this beautiful car, and I want this beautiful house, this beautiful property. Sometimes we focus to many sense objects unnecessarily. So the Sankhya philosophy tells us that how to organize my sense perceptions. So these things are dealt very elaborately. And then what is the brain? What is the function of the brain? There are a lot of, but today many scientists say, neuroscientists say, that the consciousness is a function of the brain. But what does that mean? That the conscious brain is made up of all these neurons. This is the brain cells. And so this is the brain cells. Now they are studying so many ways that trying to show that the consciousness is a function of the brain. But the Bhagavad says that's wrong, that the consciousness is completely separate from the brain. Say, for example, there are many microbes, that's unicellular organisms, that they don't have any brain, but they have the mind. So, in other words, the scientists try to say that the mind is also a function of the brain, and the consciousness is a function of the brain. But there are so many organisms that don't have any brain, but they are conscious, and they have the mind. So, but Sankhya philosophy says that consciousness is a completely independent entity and has nothing to do with the brain. So all these things are very elaborately described in the Sankhya philosophy. So therefore, the modern scientists are beginning to seek for this knowledge. In fact, you know, very recently, some very well-known scientists came to study Srimad Bhagavatam in Bhaktivedanta Institute in Bombay. There is one very brilliant scientist called Henry Staff from University of California, Berkeley, a quantum physicist. He's working very much on the nature of the mind from physics, quantum physics. And so like that, there are many important scientists that are beginning to look for these alternative models from any source, So therefore, Bhagavat paradigm, or this paradigm of this Krishna consciousness, gives that alternative as a principle. So therefore, many scientists are beginning to take this very seriously. So therefore, he says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that it's a very important principle. Is a I'll just read the. Jnana vairaga yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana paripasati udasinam prakritim chahatojasam. So this is about the process of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is a process to realize what is the nature of the self, what is the function of called jivatma. There are signs of searching for the signs of self-realization. About understanding what is the ultimate meaning of this life, and also what is the ultimate duty of life. So that is called searching for the signs of self-realization. So here, Kapila Dev, actually instructing to his mother, Mother Devahuti, said, in that position of self-realization, Jnana Vairagya Yuktena means by practice of knowledge and renunciation. Renunciation. In devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective and he becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. So there are some very important words here. Jnana vairagya yuktena. Jnana means knowledge. So knowledge means what? Knowledge about the science of the self. So that is actually real knowledge, the science of the self. The self is different from matter. In other words, it is a non-material entity. So that knowledge, and also is different from matter. So this knowledge is very, very vital. So by knowing that knowledge, and then renunciation means one is being freed from the influence of the ups and the downs of material life. You know, being influenced by this material, say, happiness and desires, that a person is dragged away in so many different aspects of man's activity. But how to streamline that, how to control that, how to be free from the entanglement in this ups and downs of material association. So that association, freeing from all these anxieties and difficulties, so that it can be obtained by practicing jnana and vairagya. Jnana means knowledge, vairagya means freeing or renunciation from these ups and downs of material activities. So unless one has knowledge, then it will be difficult to be free from entanglement. So in that state, when one has developed this knowledge by the practice of Krishna consciousness, then one will have a desire to actually develop the real function of the living entity. So the real function is called bhakti marga. In other words, the science of devotion of the self toward the Supreme Being, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So that desire will become manifest in the life of a person, in the life of a sincere person. So this wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to become a sincere servant of the Lord, so this desire will become manifest automatically by this process of jnana and vairagya, by knowledge as well as by the process of renunciation. Renunciation means freeing from material desires, renounce. So in this way, the symptom of the living entity will become manifest. It is also called the purification. The purification process means we are contaminated by the different modes of material nature. But then by practicing this Krishna consciousness, then one will become purified, and then one will be situated properly. So when one becomes situated properly, then automatically one becomes very enthusiastic about wanting to find out that the proper process. So that process is obtained jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana paripasati udasinam prakritim satavasam. So in that state of existence, they said a person will be able to see things properly. In other words, a person will be enlightened. A person will get the real knowledge, and you will see things, what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, and what is the real process to be done, and what is the process to be abandoned. So these real, you know, the scientific knowledge will become manifest in the life of a person. So that when knowledge becomes available in that way, then a person will become very serious in his or her journey toward life. In other words, he or she will be very careful that because the time factor, we don't have so much time in this world. So therefore, a person becomes extremely careful about utilizing the time. And so things which should not be productive, things which should not be very useful, so a person will not be interested in spending time there. So in this way, the science of self-realization, the science of self-knowledge, when one becomes enlightened, then that automatically one becomes extremely enthusiastic in doing only the best in life and life's journey. That way, he or she will attain the ultimate destination in life's journey. Life is a journey, and that we all have to accept that. Life is a journey. So in this journey, we have to encounter ups and downs. Sometimes you have to cross a big forest. Sometimes you have to cross water. Sometimes you have to climb big mountain. But if you are clear, the destination, if the destination is very clear, and if you are very determined, and then depending on the mercy of the Lord, that you get strength and deep commitment to reach that destination. So that way, your journey will be able to reach the destination. In other words, you'll be able to fulfill life's mission. So the Krishna consciousness, therefore, gives a person so this type of commitment and also direction. And so if one follows very properly, then one is bound to obtain all these intricate aspects of knowledge. So that way, life's journey will become meaningful, and then you'll find you feel very happy, and then you'll begin to actually also take this life journey much more enthusiastically, and then you will not like to waste unnecessarily to unwanted activities. So therefore, Krishna consciousness gives the guideline and direction in order to reach the goal of life, life's destination. And it is applicable to everyone, to anyone who is searching for that knowledge. And it is completely non-sectarian. The only thing is that one has to have a desire and sincerity in order to practice this fundamental principles of life. So, any questions? So this empirical knowledge is due to lack of training. In other words, unfortunately, such people do not have the facility to learn the higher form of knowledge. So in this way, they need to find a proper teacher, proper source, so that he has to get the transcendental knowledge. So in this way, if the education is directed, if a person is given the facility, then he or she will be able to gather this important form of knowledge. And so therefore, Krishna consciousness, when they say, please practice Krishna consciousness, so that empirical knowledge, let's say, to some degree, also empirical knowledge actually is also useful. It's not completely useless, but it is useful if one can use it properly. But without that knowledge, without using whether this is right or wrong, without that background, then one will be misled. So therefore, just like when Max Born, you know, well-known quantum physicist, when Max Born says that by the knowledge that I gather from the study of the atoms, because he was a quantum physicist, so by studying the fundamental principles of the atoms, so that led me to appreciate about the existence of the Creator. So in this way, because he saw the very orderly nature within the atoms, so he could not conceive that it could happen just at random or without any, let's say, Creator, without any higher source. So therefore, he was saying that by my knowledge, in other words, from aparavidya, the empirical knowledge is aparavidya, the lower knowledge, that now lower knowledge, if the source is known properly, that lower knowledge also can be used for appreciating the higher knowledge. So in this way, it is useful. So in other words, a person has to have some training, has been exposed to the these different categories of knowledge. In other words, a person should, in his or her search for knowledge, he should look for the real knowledge. So in this way, one will be able to apply the proper form of knowledge to appreciate the Supreme Personality. Sankhya. No, this is not Sankhacharya. That's very recent. This is Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means counting, actually. And this is Sankhya philosophy is by Lord Kapila. Lord Kapila Dev is the actually incarnation of Krishna, Lord Kapila. And here, this is the son of Mother Devahuti. And so he's the son of Devahuti and Kadama Muni. So that the... So Kadama Muni and Mother Devahuti had somehow were blessed by the mercy of the Lord because of their great devotion. So their God is Kapila as their son. And as a Kapila, Lord Kapila actually is the incarnation of Krishna. And so Kapila gave this Sankhya philosophy on the science and the philosophy of understanding everything, including devotional service. And so that Sankhya philosophy is even now, I mean, is much more relevant to the modern scientific knowledge. And so that is the Sankhya philosophy given by Lord Kapila. And it's actually here, it is in this volume. It is I didn't touch the Sankhya philosophy, but it is just part of the, it's called the Fundamental Principles of Material in this chapter, actually chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Here, this is the Kapila instructed to his mother Devahuti about the what is the most scientific knowledge of the nature of the self. So this is being explained in a very wonderful way, and it is a little bit intricate, but it contains a whole spectrum of knowledge. Yeah. No, they didn't specifically. I was thinking in general that Carl Sagan and more than 31 very brilliant scientists around the world, that including several Nobel laureates, so they made a strong appeal. It was published actually in the called Journal of American Physics. It is you'll find that that appeal also, this long appeal, and basically, you know, because they find that the ecological problem today in the world is becoming very, very difficult. So the mainly, you know, the pollution of the environment, and then this causing different diseases, and then in the name of a scientific and a technological industrial, let's say, advancement, is so much disturbing in the ecological system of the planet. So in this way, they are convinced that unless some religious principles, wisdom also is incorporated, then it's going to be very, very harmful for the planet. So knowing that they made this appeal. So the appeal was very moving. I mean, you should read that. It's a long appeal, and it was very much appreciating about we must accept the ancient wisdom, you know, given by the, you know, these religious leaders, and it was kind of an appeal in a very, you know, it was very submissive. I mean, very, very, very with humility. Yeah, I can give you the reference that it is a. It was not very old. It was, and this was submitted in, you know, that there was a Moscow, in the Moscow, there was a Moscow Global Forum. That was 1992. It was submitted there. And in fact, there are about 280, more than 280 religious leaders signed that. Said that we must join hands together in order to protect, say, this the problem of our planet. So in this way, it was, now, it's very interesting now. We are, I think, moving another era. I mean, coming to another, you know, like a state of civilization. I think many scientists are supposed to be atheists, but they're becoming very open-minded and open to religious dialogue. It's very, very interesting. That's why you see the Union for Concerned Scientists. You know, that they have more than 100,000 people, members, and there are mostly all the, practically all the Nobel laureates joined that, this Union for Concerned Scientists. And the headquarters is in Massachusetts, also they have Washington, and so they are concerned, is a, yeah, very, 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 very important. And so all these things are opening up. Then you can see that the science and interface between science and the religion, science and the theology is becoming very, very prominent in every part of the world, especially in the United States as well as in Europe. So people are beginning to open up, especially the scientists. The scientists are taking the leading role in this thing, even in theology. So this is a very good sign, very good sign. And so definitely you'll see something very soon in the early part of next century. I think we're going to see new science. And new philosophy and new understanding about cosmology. That is, seems to be very in the right direction. Therefore, Krishna consciousness comes very handy. And I'm organizing a conference. Give me that. So this is called the Second World Congress for the Synthesis of Science and the Religion. This is going to be held in Calcutta next year, January 9 to 12. And there will be about 3,600 well-known scientists and philosophers, and we'll gather together. So this is done in honor of Srila Prabhupada's centennial appearance celebration. And so there will be many religious leaders, like Dalai Lama, and many Nobel laureates, scientists, philosophers, will gather together. And if you want to attend this Congress, that you can actually write to us or participate. This is January 9 to 12, 1997, next year. And so actually I'm going around the world just to invite many scholars. And I brought some pamphlets, so if anyone is interested later on, you know, maybe after prasadam, you know, maybe you can see me and I can give you the details. Also, if any one of you write the papers for this program, please, you can do that. It's for everyone. So many important people, and these topics will be discussed: ecology, consciousness, then world peace, then origin of life and the origin of the universe, and biomedical ethics. All these things will be discussed. Yeah. Population control. population control means... It said that, yeah, they have their own way of saying, but I think, you know, this, you know, once when one begins to practice Krishna consciousness, that it could be understood properly. And even the scientists, you know, they say, well, this is another area that one has to propose some very meaningful, some very practical, the practical solution. So practical solution is that if one is Krishna conscious, that solution is there. But if one is not Krishna conscious, then one may try so many this and that. They may not be so practical. So therefore, we have to find ways and means how to bring up a practical solution from Krishna conscious viewpoint. And it is possible. It is possible to do. We have not focused much along that line, but it is definitely possible. So I have been given the signal that now the prasadam time is coming. And we'd like to thank for coming. Please come regularly and also bring your friends. And also you should get some of these books regularly, because that way it will be easier. And then you can study and read at home. And you know, some of these are all like library materials. And so if you study that, then you'll have you know, this the science and the philosophy, you know, very, you know, very quickly. And so it will be very useful. And so please come more often. Don't hide only at home. Please come. Please come. More often, and also please bring friends and other people who are interested, and definitely interested to have a dialogue, you know, with many people. And so this is open for everyone, and actually every day is open, but on Sundays it's very convenient, because since you're all working on Sunday, so let's come early and try to learn this chanting process. And if you have any questions, then you can, you know, either after prasadam or any time, you can also discuss these points. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Sri Panchatattva ki jai.
So I think there is a way of arranging the sitting, right? Thank you.
You kind of blow your cover.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Could I have your attention for a moment, please? Servers, could you hold on just one moment? First of all, I'd like to announce to all the devotees. I'd like to announce to all the devotees that next Sunday is Ekadashi, so those who observe Ekadashi, that's next Sunday. And also, I'm going to bring a basket in. If anybody would like to contribute some gift, donation to His Holiness Bhakti Sri Damodar, we'll apply it towards his plane ticket. If anybody would like to contribute to a sannyasi in that fashion, that would be very much appreciated. And also, we have a guest here who would like to make an announcement. So you would give him your attention, please.
Yeah. This afternoon is my daughter Kimberly's sixth birthday, and for those of you who have studied a little bit about the original culture of a birthday, you were always supposed to give something away on your birthday, not receive it. So to help teach her the importance of giving, we're going to have her share her birthday cake with all of you here today. So if we can say happy birthday. Her name is Kimberly.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kimberly. Happy birthday to you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.